open up to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now one thing I want to point out in this. In verse 1, the Lord had spoken to Abram, and he said, "Get out of thy country, leave your kindred, get out of the house, leave home, and go to a land I will show thee." Abram didn't yet fully understand where God was taking him, but he did know he was supposed to leave. So if somebody had come to Abram and said, "Abram, I hear you're leaving. Here you're moving. Where are you going?" Abram's response would have been, "Well, I'm not really sure, but the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to leave, to pack up, get everything together, and just leave home, and that he would show me the land where I'm going." Now, this right here is a verse that contains an incredible amount of wisdom. Because for us as believers, all too often we want God to tell us everything about where we're headed before we step out to follow His leading. The thing is, we don't need to know. You say, "Oh yeah, Brother Martin, we got to know. Got to make plans. Got to have..." No, no. You need to understand God already has the plans made. If you will be obedient and just begin this walk, whatever He tells you, what will happen is over time He'll begin to reveal the plans unto you. For example, in His dealing with me, He says, "Okay, I'm calling you to be a pastor." It's like, okay. "Calling you to be a teacher." Okay. And whatever, you know, He says to me, "Calling you for, you know, such and such." So my responsibility at that time was, number one, to accept He'd called me to be these things. But if I had said to Him, "Well, okay, you want me to be a pastor, do you? What church am I going to pastor? Where is it located? How big is it? Is it air conditioned? How many restrooms does it have? How many people does it run? And how much money is coming in the offerings every week?" I mean, I could have gone to Him like that, and I could have said, "Okay, now look, wait, you know, this pastor thing, that's great, we'll do it. All right, but before I step out, you need to fill me in on all this stuff." Well, you know what? The heavens would have gone silent. Because you really can't bargain with God. So I could have said to Him all of those things, or I could have done what I did. And that is, be obedient. Because there's no way I knew I'd be here in my pastoral journey, if you will. No way I would have... there's no way. If He had left it up to me, I would have written out a different script. But He didn't leave it up to me. I left it up to Him. And so I had to leave and take the first step. And along the way, He has continued to show me things. And He's showing me more and more as we go along. Well, anyway, this is something that we need to get a hold of as Christians. Do not develop this belief that you have to know all the details. Let me just throw percentages, okay? Don't develop this idea that you have to know at least 10% of this divine plan. No, you don't. You don't need to know 1%. You say, "But Brother Martin, I got to know something." Okay, what do you know at this point? "Well, He said He's called me to be a pastor." Okay, then what are you supposed to do? "Well, I'm supposed to be a pastor." Well, then why don't you go to Him and pray and ask Him to begin to move in your life to develop this pastoral calling? What does He want you to do? "Well, He said something about..." Let me see here. What was it? Some kind of school, some kind of Grace Ministries Bible College. He said, I'm supposed to attend that. Well, then enroll. Well, I don't know if I should enroll or not. What's he telling you? Well, he was saying to enroll. Then do it. Then do it. Yeah, but it's going to take me a long time to finish college. What is your problem? You will never make it to where he's trying to lead you if you don't just step out and begin. What has he told you to do at this point? Do it. That's it. That's all you need to know. So he gives Abram this instruction. And throughout this message, I'll probably refer to him as Abram and Abraham. Same guy. And he says, leave. So he does. Now, look here. In verse 5, it says, they left Haran and headed into the land of Canaan. Now, in verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So now, where is he? He is in the place of Sichem, the plain of Moreh. Okay? You see that? But now look in verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Okay, now where is he? Well, he's on a mountain, somewhere around Bethel. Then what happens? Verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now where is he? Egypt. Now we could keep reading and we could see the encounter that he had with God in Egypt and so forth. But the point I want to make is this. He was in Haran, was he not? In Haran, he had an encounter with God. He leaves Haran and he goes to Moreh. And while he is in Moreh, what happens? He has an encounter with God. And notice in verse 7 it talks about that he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And one thing you'll notice as you begin reading from Genesis, whenever people had an encounter with God, they always built an altar to acknowledge they had had this encounter with the Lord. Well, then in verse 8, he's there at this mountain. And what does it say he does? He builds an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So here he has another encounter with God. But what we're seeing, every place he goes, he's having an encounter with the Lord. See that? Okay, let's back up here. Verse 5, he's in Haran. That's home. And he has to leave Haran. He leaves Haran and goes to Moreh. He leaves Moreh, goes to a mountain. He leaves the mountain and goes to Egypt. Now, every time he moves, he has to pack everything up. And where it talks about he pitched his tent, I can remember, I didn't have any idea what this really meant as far as the tent is concerned. Anybody here ever done camping? You know the kind of tents that people use when they camp? Like those, like Boy Scout camp tents. They're not very big. But see, you have to understand that back in those, and even today, some of the tents would be almost as big as this sanctuary. Huge. So it's possible that the tent that Abram and Sarai lived in was at least half the size of this sanctuary. And every time they went from, where they were to the next stop, they have to pack all this up. Well, it wasn't just Abraham and Sarai. It's everything that they had set up outside the tent, like whatever they did for cooking, and all of the servants, their tents, and Lot. Now, maybe Lot stayed in the tent with Abram and Sarah. I don't know. Maybe he had his own tent. But they had all these tents. All these things had to be packed up and, rolled up and all this stuff. It was work. This wasn't easy. See, I'm spoiled, and I'm proud of it. The idea of camping, let's see. Camping, root canal. Camping, root canal. At least with a root canal, they numb you. All right? When you go camping, there is no numbness. If a storm blows in, if lions and tigers and bears come to visit, oh my. Okay, root canal. That's sounding really good. One day and it's over. 1 hour and it's over. I've never been big on camping. I like hotels. I love hotels. I like running water that comes from a shower head, not the creek out by the tent. Are you catching on? I'm not a camping kind of guy. And thank God my wife is not a camping kind of woman. That is one less argument we will have. But I want to go camping. I am not good, but I want a tent. We are not. So we are in agreement in this area of our lives. And we rejoice over it. Back then they didn't have much of a choice. That was just life. But it was hard work. Very hard work to get everything put together. And then here they go with all the herds and just everything that they had. And they go from Haran to Morah and to this mountain place and to Egypt and all. But every place they went, Abram had an encounter with God. The encounter he had at Morah was not the same encounter he had in Haran. The encounter he had on the mountain was not the same encounter he had at Morah. And the encounter that he had in Egypt was not the same encounter that he had on the mountain. Every time he went someplace, he had a new, fresh encounter with the Lord. Now, if he had not gone from, say, let's say he went from Haran to Morah, but he stopped at Morah, didn't go any further, he would never have had the mountain encounter. He would never have had the Egypt encounter or any of the other encounters he had from that day forward. I mean, this continues on. We're just looking at this little bitty part of his life. But when you look in verse 5 and you think about Haran, what did Haran represent? Haran represented home. You say, well, yeah, but Brother Martin, it also represented, you know, blessings and wealth and all that. They had the blessings and wealth everywhere they went. He was blessed everywhere he went because he took it with him. His flocks and everything else. I mean, later on the Bible talks about how he was very rich. So everywhere he went, he had, you know, the money and all this other stuff. That's not the issue. Haran represents home, family, what he's known for a long time, comfort, ease, and, now get this, it also represents the place where he encountered and heard God. Now let that sink in. You say, well, why is that so important? Because for Christians, most of the time what happens is when we find a place that we encounter and hear God, we stay there and we don't move on. You say, what are you talking about? You'll see. So he leaves Haran and he goes to Morah. And while he's there at Morah, he has a fresh encounter with the Lord. He leaves Morah and goes to the mountain, has a fresh encounter with the Lord. He leaves the mountain and goes to Egypt, has a fresh encounter with the Lord. Now, what is happening in all this process? He's being obedient to God, is he not? God said, leave Haran and just head that way. So off he goes. And every place that he stops, and it's not really clear exactly, you know, how many days he may have stayed in this place and the next place and so forth, but he stayed there. Every place he went represents the next, I'll say it this way, milestone in his obedience to God and God's will for his life. The next level, if you will. Because every place he went, he encountered God. We don't know exactly what instructions or what God said every place he went, but he had an encounter with God, builds the altars. You know, this is where I encountered the Lord. And this is where I sought the Lord. Every place he went, God was waiting for him. And every place he went, now think of what I'm getting ready to say here. Every place he went could have become Haran. Now here's what I mean. At Haran, let's say that he never left home. That he just stayed right there in Haran. Could he have stood up and testified, folks, I have had an incredible encounter with God? Could he have stood up and testified, I have heard God speak to me? Well, what did God say? God said he was going to bless me. He was going to give me a land for a possession. I mean, he could have stood up and told about all these wonderful things God was going to do for him. And people listening, you know, testimony night in church. And everybody's listening to this and they're thinking, ooh, ah. But the part he could have left out is, God told me to leave home. Now, was he in a place of blessing? Absolutely. Was he living in his blessings? Absolutely. Was he living in a place of comfort? Yes. Was he living in a place where he encountered God? Yes. Was he living in a place where he heard God? Absolutely. All of these things. And he could have lived the rest of his life on those testimonies. Because this is where I've encountered God. This is where God spoke to me. I mean, it's, you know, been 50 years, but he spoke to me right here. Well, he goes on to Mora. He has an encounter with God. Wow, this is cool. Back there in Haran, this is what God said, but now here at Mora, he's telling me more. Get more at Mora. Hallelujah. He's sharing with me. Anyway. God is speaking to me. You know, more instructions and oh, it's great to be in His presence. Got an altar built here. I mean, I've encountered God. This is tremendous. This is a place of God's presence. And Mora could have turned into a Haran, a place of comfort, a place of familiarity, a place where I've heard God, a place where I have indeed encountered God. And he could have become extremely comfortable right there at Mora. Because, hey, we even have an altar. We've got a great church right here. Let me tell you what God did for me. And he could have lived on the testimony of Haran and Mora, and Mora could have become his Haran. Well, he goes to the mountain. The process. Are you following this? The sequence here? The mountain could have become Haran. Egypt could have become Haran. I mean, on and on it goes. All these different places where he went. Every one of those places had the potential to become Haran to him. The place of comfort, the place of rest, the place of familiarity, the place where I have family with me, the place where I have friends with me, the place where I have wealth, the place where I have blessings, all of this. But he didn't stop. He kept going and he kept making progress. The thing is, if you read the rest of the story, as he kept going and he kept making progress, he kept taking another step and another step in all that hard work. To pack up and move. Pack. I mean, sooner or later, think with me here. Don't you maybe consider it possible that Sarai might have looked at him and said, "We have to move again? Do you know how hard this is for me, Abram? Do you know how difficult we've got to get everything packed up and all the servants? How happy would they have been? Does this old man really know what he's doing?" Well, he's the one that gives us our paycheck every week, so I guess we better do this. You know, if we quit, where are we going to go? Who's going to hire us? Bunch of slaves. You know just how people are. Folks would have started to wonder, what's next? Where are we going from here? But everywhere he went, he eventually had some kind of an encounter with God, and he heard the voice of the Lord relative to God's instructions to him. Now, for us today, this same concept is true. Every new level of an experience that we have with God can become our Haran. And we can begin to rest in that place where we have experienced God. Stay right there. You say, well, Brother Martin, are you saying that we need to like keep moving from church to church? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about in our spiritual growth. I'm talking about in our spiritual maturity. We continue to seek God. We seek God. We seek God. Oh, Brother Martin, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to experience God. Okay, well, you know, just keep praying in the Spirit. Keep worshiping all these. Keep doing it. You will. Just trust me. You will. And so, you know, I'm praying and praying. And then, you know, weeks go by, months go by. And then finally one day, God starts speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have arrived. I heard the voice of the Lord. And now I am among the elite. And so what can happen is we have the experience with God. Absolutely. We hear His voice. He has spoken to us. And we can live the rest of our lives on that experience and that testimony of what He has said. And just tell people over and over again what the Lord said, what the Lord told me, what the Lord said. Well, you know, I've heard that story. I heard that 10 years ago. Yes, but the Word of the Lord is as fresh today as it was 10 years ago. You know how we kind of do things. And that level of spiritual growth and maturity can become our Haran. Because We experience something at that level we had never experienced before. And it's exciting, and it should be. But if we don't pack up and go from Mora to the mountain, we're not going to have that next experience with God, and we're not going to be able to rise to that next level of experience with Him and hear His next word. Let's use this church as an example. Now, I've been around, some of you guys have been around, experienced different churches, and talked to a lot of people. And I know, based upon my own spiritual walk, what it was like to go from where I was into the first church that Kathy and I attended. Man, I tell you what, I felt like I had stepped into glory. It was absolutely phenomenal. I'd never been in a church where gifts of the Spirit manifested. I'd never been in a church where there had been tongues and interpretation. In fact, for a long time, didn't even believe in it. And I'd never been in a church where they, you know, had the kind of praise and worship that we had and so forth. I mean, it was just incredible. And so I literally stepped into a new level with God. What I could have done was just been faithful in my attendance and sat in the services and just, you know, stand when they said stand and, you know, sit when they said sit. And I could have done everything and just, oh man, just sat in it and just felt so good in that church because God was there. I could have built my altar right there in that church. And that church was my Mora, if you will. And I could have stayed right there and made it my Haran. I could have allowed it to become my place of comfort. This new experience, I could have just stayed right there and gone no further. Would I have experienced God? Sure. Would I have had been in, you know, great services? Absolutely. But God said, you got to go from Mora to the mountain. And I didn't have to leave that church to go to the mountain. You say, what do you mean? I had to start digging deeper into the things of God. I was still at that church, but I kept digging into the things of God. And what happened was, in the same location, spiritually, I went from Mora to the mountain. And then from the mountain to Egypt. You follow my progression here? And I was still at the same church. Still in the same place. And I was growing and I was maturing and things were happening and I was experiencing God at new levels along the way. It didn't have to be like that. I could have just sat there and just, you know, kind of swam around in the glory that showed up and enjoyed myself and been blessed by God's presence and all this other, but still been in Haran. My Mora would have become my Haran. But I didn't stay there. I went on to the mountain and then on to Egypt. Well, time progressed, moved forward. Now I'm here, only I'm the pastor. I'm not in the pew. And what I can do is sit in my Mora of God's presence and everything that God has done to this point and enjoy it. All the people listening to the messages on the website, the hundreds of people that are logging on and listening and downloading, all the folks all over the place that are logging on and watching these services live. Hello. I could sit right here at this mountain and not go on to Egypt. And this mountain is a place of God's presence, is a place of hearing God, is a place of God's blessings and so forth. But the mountain can become the Haran. I can become comfortable in this place of God's presence. You understand what I'm saying? If I don't do something to move on to Egypt or to Canaan or to the next destination, if I don't do something to do that, then what's going to happen over time? I will become comfortable in my mountain and never realize that my mountain has become my Haran because God is still here. I'm still experiencing God. Abram was not satisfied with hearing God at Mora. He kept moving. And then he experienced God on that mountain. But he wasn't satisfied. Oh, he was happy to hear God and he enjoyed the fellowship and everything that took place. But he knew there is more. And so from the mountain to Egypt, from the Egypt to this place, from that place on to the next place, and so on it went. And every place he goes, he's having a fresh encounter with God, a new encounter with God. More words and instruction from God, more encouragement from God. Look up at the stars, Abram. You see that? Yes. Well, if he hadn't gone to the place of seeing the stars, he'd have never seen the stars. Look at the sand, Abram. Yeah, I see the sand. Can you count the grain? No, I can't count the grain. That's what it's going to be like. If he had never gone to the place of looking at the sand, he'd have never heard that word from God. He'd have never received that message from God. He'd have never had that encounter with God. And yet he still would have lived his life blessed, knowing that he had experienced God and heard the voice of the Lord. But every time he went from here to there, he had to pack up. He had to bust his chops. That old man had to work hard. Get everything packed up, ready to go, fold the robes, iron, whatever they did back then, to go on, to move to the next place. You know what we have to do? You don't have to pack your bags. You don't have to roll up your tent. You have to force yourself to keep going back to the tent, the prayer tent. Because that is the only way you're going to be able to go from Haran to Moreh to the mountain and to Egypt. That's the only way. Every step along the way, you're going to have an encounter with God. Along the way, you're going to be hearing God. He's going to be speaking to you. But God knows you can't just sit there, because if you do, the place where you are will become your Haran. You have Christians out there that have never been in a church like ours. Well, probably a lot of people haven't been in a church like ours. So, and I'm just sharing with you things that people have shared with me, okay? You know, way back, you know, over 10 years ago when I was here. And I shared this story not too long ago, but it kind of fits in here. You know, during a service, praise and worship and so forth, there were tongues that came forth and the Lord gave me the interpretation. Well, what I didn't know was that was when that happened, that was the first time in the history of this building that tongues had come forth. Well, I didn't think it was any big deal. But to the people there, God had just jerked them out of Haran and put them in Moreh real fast. Glory to God, what was that? What happened over time? There were people here in the church. You know, when I first walked into this building and began teaching in October of 1998 on Sunday nights, the first thing I taught, the Lord gave me teach a series on Are the Gifts of the Spirit, Are Tongues and the Gifts of the Spirit Still for Today? That was the first series I taught in this building. So I taught that series. And what was the result? The result was that all but about 2, 3, 4 adults at that time all got filled with the Holy Ghost as a result. Only those like 3 or 4 didn't, but everybody else that wasn't did. In other words, they moved from Haran to Moreh. I'll see you tomorrow. They moved from... They moved from... You see, you follow my logic here? Now here's what they could have done. They could have lived the rest of their life on that testimony. I remember he came in and he taught and opened up the scriptures and boy, the things he showed, it's like I'm seeing this for the first time in my life. Finally, it makes sense and glory to God. You know what happened next? By the time he finished teaching that series, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Want to hear? Could have lived the rest of their life on that testimony, on that encounter. And it was a glorious encounter. It was an incredible experience. And that could have become their Haran. Well, then they hear me teaching about praying in tongues. Now they've got a choice. They can pack up and move to the mountain from Moreh. You say, what does that mean? In other words, they could have begun praying in tongues, begun developing their spiritual life by praying in the Spirit. Or they could have not. And their Moreh would have become their Haran, while everybody else is moving from Moreh to the mountain, praying themselves in tongues from Moreh right up to the mountain and this next encounter with God. He said, well, if I pray in tongues till I get to the mountain, can I quit? No. Because you have to roll up your tent and keep going. What does that mean? You have to put forth the work to stay in prayer. To go from this place to the next place in God and never leave this building. So I've had people talk to me. Oh, Brother Martin, you know, I live, you know, somewhere. And maybe they were in town, they visited, or maybe they even watched on the broadcast. But whatever it would be, just over time. And people have said, man, this church is so great, it's so wonderful. I've never experienced praise and worship in a church like what you guys have. And this is just, it's so refreshing. It's just so incredible. I mean, Brother Martin, I've never heard people sing in tongues before until I was a part of one of these services. And you just can't imagine what it has done for me. Oh, Brother Martin, it is incredible. Just, oh, I love it. It's just wonderful. It's just, okay, so you've gone from Haran to Morah. Now here's what happens. People, all excited, hallelujah, glory to God. Love this church, why this is a wonderful church, etc. and so forth. And then, after a while, they settle back and their Morah becomes Haran. And in some cases, they just stop whatever it was they were doing that got them to this level in the first place. Because the very thing that got them to this level in the first place could simply have been God telling them, start attending Grace Christian Center. And that was it. Nothing beyond that. So they get here, it's like, glory to God, I love it, this is wonderful, why I've been looking for this kind of teaching all my life, and I don't know, and all these different things that people have said. So, okay, well, praise God. Now you've gone from Haran to Morah, but don't let Morah become Haran. And some people, that's what happens. And the result is that they become so accustomed to where they are, what they're experiencing, they begin to take it for granted. And they begin to live on the experience that got them here in the first place and never do anything else beyond that. Never. You say, well, Brother Martin, can you identify people that have done that? You don't want me to do that. Yes, I could. You don't want me to do that. Now, here's what happens in this whole process. Look here. In verse 5, he's in Haran. All right, he's in Haran for a long time. Then he ends up in Morah. Well, he's there in Morah. And he has this experience, verses 6 and 7, with the Lord. Lord appears unto him, speaks to him, he builds the altar and all this other. But then in verse 8, it talks about he removed from them. So in other words, he packed up and left. Okay, now what does this represent? It represents that whenever you go from a Haran to a Morah, or a Morah to a mountain, or a mountain to an Egypt, whatever it would be, you are going to be at that place for a season. You say, what do you mean for a season? Well, again, we're not talking about church hopping, okay? We're talking about your spiritual walk with God. So, you know, you pray yourself from Haran to Morah. And God has some things He's going to work in your life at Morah, at that level. And what He's doing is getting you prepared to go from Morah to the mountain, see? It's a spiritual preparation. A lot of people promote themselves to their self-made mountain from Morah. But God knows what you need while you're in Morah. And He wants to work His Morah work in you so that you'll be ready for this next level. That's what all the praying is about while you're at Morah. Then He takes you to the mountain. And you're going to be at the mountain for a season. Some people, if they don't watch out, will begin to get frustrated. I feel like I'm just stuck. You ever heard anyone say that before? I'm praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, worship, 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 praying in tongues, worship, doing all these things. I even fast now and then. I'm just stuck. I'm not going nowhere. Oh, yeah, you are. But I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. It isn't about what you feel.
You tell me you're praying. You tell me you're worshiping. Do you understand that what's happening is that on the inside of you, God is getting you ready spiritually to go from Moreh to the mountain. You've got to be ready. Because He's not going to take you. He knows what's on that mountain waiting for you. You know, out at the prayer center in Tulsa, they have this little saying they like to use, new level, new devil. God knows what's waiting for you at that next level. He knows what's waiting for you at Moreh, the mountain, Egypt. He knows. So while you're here at Moreh, He's getting you ready, just like He was getting Abram ready to leave Haran to go to Moreh. He's getting you ready spiritually to go to this next level. Worst thing you can do is stop praying when you get frustrated and feel like you're going nowhere. Because you are making progress. You just don't see it. You know, it's kind of like, have you ever been out, like out west, where there's like nothing to look at? Here you are, you're driving, and you just keep driving, and you see the same cactus for 30 miles. I mean, it's just, and you feel like, you know, I am driving 80 miles an hour. Yes, I know, speed limit 65, but I am driving 80 miles an hour, and I haven't gotten anywhere. I'm right where I was when I left, and it's been 3 hours. What is going on here? Well, what it is, it's your perception. That's just like with flying. You know, you get in an airplane and boom, plane takes off. And you know, you look out the window and the land is just whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And just flying past you. And the plane begins to take off and oh, you can feel, you know, that the gravity's pulling you back in the seat. And it's like, oh, this is cool. And you know, boom, up the plane goes. You know, it gets up there at about, you know, 30,000 feet. And this thing is traveling at like 500 miles an hour. Well, you look out the window, and you look down at the ground below, way down there, and it just doesn't seem like you're moving very fast. But you are. It doesn't feel like you're moving 500 miles an hour. 500 miles an hour. That's fast. My car can't do that. And so here you are. Kathy's saying, thank God, thank God, thank God. You're moving 500 miles an hour, but you don't feel like you're making any progress at all. And eventually, you know, you land and so forth and all that, and you realize, well, I've covered a lot of ground here. But it just didn't feel like it. Well, see, when you're praying in tongues, it doesn't feel like you're moving 500 miles an hour. Or 300, or whatever the case would be. It doesn't feel like you're making progress. It doesn't feel like there's any kind of preparation at all taking place for you to get to this next level. And that's one of the reasons why so many people quit.
I tried that praying in tongues thing and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it does work. The Bible says so. And see, that's one of the things that helps to keep me going is the fact that the Bible says this stuff works. So therefore, when I do it, it's working whether I feel it or not. And God is working in me to prepare me for the next level. Whatever that represents. Because see, Abram did not know what was at Moreh. He knew where he was. He knew where he had been. But he did not know what was at Moreh. Never been there before. But when he got there, he found out what was at Moreh. But he also found out God was waiting for him. And he had an experience with God that was different than anything else he had ever had. And he heard God speak things to him he had never heard before. If he hadn't moved on, he'd have never had that encounter. Well, see, for us, this truth remains a truth our whole lives. God is wanting to take every one of us. I mean every one of us. You, me, everybody watching, listening. He is wanting to take us from our mountain to our Egypt. From our Egypt to our next stop and then to the next stop. This is why it is so important for us to give Him access to our spirits through praying in the Spirit, along with the worship and the confession, the meditation in the Word, the fasting and so forth. I mean, this is why, especially the praying in tongues, though, because praying in tongues is a revelation gift. And it is so important for us to keep doing this, because as we keep doing it, God is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure to get us ready and prepared for this next move. And here's the thing. You can go from Haran to Morah to Mountain to Egypt to the next step, to the next step, to the next step, and never leave this location. What I mean is, God may never take you to another church. He keeps you right here. Because it's about your spiritual growth. It's about your spiritual development. Now, the time may come where God may say, okay, now look, what I want you to do is I want you to move from Dayton, Ohio, and I want you to go over here. I'm sending you to Arizona. I'm sending you to Canada. I'm sending you to Australia. I'm sending you to Michigan. I'm sending you to Florida. Because I want you to help start a church there. Or I want you to be not necessarily the pastor, but instrumental in birthing a church there. Or I don't know what it would be. I don't know. But if we don't do what we can do to enable Him to work that work in us, then we can live the rest of our lives on the experiences that we have had, and they have been wonderful. We can stand up and testify about all the healings we've seen, all the people we've prayed for that got healed, all the wonderful teachings that we've heard. I mean, on and on it goes. And the testimonies will be great. They'll be encouraging to others. They'll be inspiring to others and so forth. And God's up in heaven saying, yeah, but I want to take you from what has become your Haran to your next Morah. I don't want you to get comfortable in this place. It's not wrong to have peace, but it's wrong to develop that comfort to where you don't make the effort to go beyond that. And it is an effort. It is work. Because you have to work hard at getting yourself motivated to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes it's easy. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, well, I feel like praying in tongues, and you go, I don't know, praying in tongues. Other times it's like, man, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to sit in front of the TV and just watch Gomer Pyle or something. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to do anything. Well, okay, fine. I mean, if you've hit that kind of a wall for the moment, then watch Gomer Pyle and pray in tongues while you're watching Gomer Pyle. At least, see what I'm saying? Now, don't take that as a word from the Lord. Yeah, watch television and pray in the... No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you give up your alone time with God. But what I'm saying is, if we don't fight and make the effort to do this, then we're going to end up turning wherever we are into a Haran. A place of testimony. A place where we heard God. But also a place of comfort to where we don't go forward with the Lord. But when we make that decision, start working to fold those tents, then God works in us to get us ready for promotion to that next level. That next level of glory, that next level of His presence, that next level of anointing, that next the next level of instructions, of hearing His voice and so forth. It's all waiting at the next stop. Praise God. Don't let the glory become a Haran. Keep pressing on. Keep folding those tents and moving on. Keep working hard to get to that next level. And you know what? When you do, when he finally moves you to that next level, you know what? You're going to say, thank God I kept praying. Thank God I didn't stop and let my last place become a Haran. Thank God I kept going. Thank God I kept going. And then you just keep going. And you get to the next. And you get to the next. And you get to the next. Experiencing God is a wonderful thing. And it never has to stop. Praise the Lord. So I'm here to encourage you tonight. whatever you've experienced with God, however many times He's spoken to you, whatever glory that you have experienced here in this place, in your life, whatever it is, don't let the glory become a heron. Keep pressing on. Hallelujah.